Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Barzola on this first day of December 2009. Our theme is the Hector Berlioz's March to the Scaffold from the Symphonie Fantastique. Death is a relevant subject today, or scaffold executions. I just came across something, as you know, we like to do this day and this week. We stopped the execution. In 1842, a young midshipman named Philip Spencer was hanged for alleged treason on board the USS Summers. There were three other midshipmen who were hanged with him by the Captain Bligh of the U.S. Navy. I guess we could call him that, a guy named Alexander McKenzie. What's notorious about it, there was flogging in the U.S. Navy, and it was abolished 3 years later in 1850. The British Navy, which didn't abolish, which still did flogging in the other navies, didn't abolish it until much later in the late 18th, early 19th century. As Winston Churchill once said, the British Navy was known for rum, sodomy, and the lash, or flogging. And it was quite brutal. But anyway, Philip Spencer wasn't your ordinary midshipman. His father was John Tyler's Secretary of War, or Secretary, who would be Secretary of Defense today, and he was outraged that his son would be hanged on an assumption that he was committing mutiny or had committed mutiny, because him and the midshipmen were complaining about Captain McKenzie's liberal use of the lash. And within 10 minutes of Spencer was hanged. I think he was hanged first, Philip Spencer, and then the other three young men. And it was a big scandal in the U.S. Navy. And then finally, the Navy started Annapolis in 1850. It was founded then. It's kind of interesting because West Point is our first military academy. And, of course, we have a controversial, politician who is speaking there, maybe at this moment, I don't know. There's a lot of controversy about Generalissimo Obama, and you can make up your own mind about that. His story, there are a lot of pages to be written in his story yet in his political fiction. Anyway, that's one of the scandals, but it led to the founding of the Naval Academy. And, of course, our last military academy, we have a military academy for the Coast Guard, and we have one for the Air Force at Colorado Springs, which has had its own share of scandals, in particular sex rape of young women up there. Of course, that's another issue that one of the political fictions that I talk about is that rape of young males is a crime that the media dare not speak its name. And it's something we've got to deal with, and it's going to erupt if they continue to focus on a line open homosexuals and lesbians in the military. They're already there. The ones that are there, if they do their job and keep their mouth shut, their sleeves down, their zippers up, and their underwear on, they don't get into trouble. And they do their duty. They get mustered out in good conduct and honorably, and they go on to get their benefits and go on to live their lives, having served their country, without politicizing their sexual preference, or what I call crotch politics. This is World AIDS Day, too, and, of course, one of the topics that are not talked about, we don't know how many of our, in particular, sailors and Marines who have been hit, who've been infected with AIDS because of they've been targeted by homosexuals, and there's a whole industry of this, and we've been exposing it little by little since 1996, and when the Steve married the 18-year-old youth who was stalked, lured, drugged, raped, and railroaded here in San Francisco, one of several cases. Incidentally, the Chronicle, surprisingly, or Associated Press, printed an article about a corrupt district attorney down in, I think, Kern County, who had 25 of his 26 capital cases overturned because of prosecutorial misconduct, false evidence. It appears to be rampant in our system, and there are groups and there are people beginning to realize that it costs a lot of money not only to prosecute the guilty, but to railroad an innocent person or a person who defended himself, like Steve Neri and others. There are others into state and federal prison, and we'll get into that in the upcoming months. But today is World AIDS Day, and interestingly, having been at KALW, the San Francisco Unified School District's radio station, which was the first one in the West, and it's probably the only one left in the United States, a great station until it was ruined by local politics, people who wanted to turn it into Radio Havana, the leftists in San Francisco who wanted a gay, lesbian, radical left, Castro-leaning agenda up at the station, destroyed or tried to destroy many careers and forced. I was one of the people who was purged back in the late 80s. Anyway, the first case of AIDS was called ARC then, was discovered infected a KALW broadcaster named Netkin. And he died in the 80s, and people didn't know what it was. They called it ARC back then, but that was the first known case in San Francisco or California media. But again, you know, the taxpayers have spent billions and billions of dollars on, dealing with AIDS, AIDS hospices. That's another racket in and of itself, according to one HUD official who called it one of the biggest rackets in HUD, real estate rackets, that is. And there's so much knowledge out there. Even a kid who hasn't even reached puberty knows about AIDS, or SIDA, as the Spanish call it. So there's no excuse for a lot of this money being spent and people not changing their behavior. In fact, it's getting worse. And this is one of the issues that ties in to this health insurance argument that's going on in Congress and across the country. That this former senator from Tennessee, who's also a doctor, who said it's people's behavior that is a large part of the high cost of health care. And, you know, excessive smoking, excessive drinking, this condomless sex, which is what they're back to. It's called bareback. And you've got to learn these terms because you are paying, the American taxpayer is paying for all this bad behavior, inexcusable and immoral, perverted behavior. It's not a matter of people's right to behave this way. It's their obligation to behave in a manner that doesn't affect other people, and they don't give a damn. And when you criticize them for that or try to get them to change their behavior, they accuse you of, quote, hate crime or what is known as the Caligula laws. Caligula was one of the emperors, young emperor, who succeeded Nero. And he was crazy, and he involved in incest. But he came up with the idea he liked to torture people. And, of course, the Romans had some very draconian punishments. For instance, a Roman citizen could be flogged or lashed, but he couldn't receive more than 40. Like St. Paul, who was a Roman citizen, he was flogged many times, but they couldn't give him more than 40. But Caligula came up with the idea, it's not enough in the capital crime on the books of the Roman Empire. It's not enough to kill somebody. You have to prolong it. You have to make them suffer. And this is where this sadomasochist idea of hate crime comes from, because a lot of this, there are laws on the books to protect everybody, whether they're gay, straight, homosexual, lesbian, transgendered, illegal alien. There are laws to protect these people's human rights, and it should be equal across the board. When you should kill a homosexual or lesbian, there's no excuse for that unless it's in self-defense, any more than an excuse to kill a kid who was a victim of rape or robbery or whatever, or mayhem. The law should be applied equally no matter what your sexual and political preference is. But that's not what the Caligula laws do. But it's kind of interesting since this is World's AIDS Day, and I just thought I'd bring this up. Also, for people who want information about free and low-cost health care, the guy's been around for many years. His name is Matthew Lesko, L-E-S-K-O. He puts out this huge directory. He does several, and they're fairly accurate from what I can tell. And they're all, do you know that, and I was a human guinea pig twice, once in nuclear medicine many years ago when I needed money as a college student, and also when I got fired from the radio station, did some human guinea pig, and they wanted me to be a guinea pig again, but I don't think so. Anyway, there are all kinds of medical researchers and pharmaceutical companies that do ethical testing. They crack down on a lot of the abuses. They don't use prisoners like they used to, like the notorious case in the South where they infected a lot of black prisoners with syphilis and didn't tell them what they were doing, and they didn't. These people weren't educated, and they didn't get their informed consent. They didn't even know what that was until they were victimized, and even then, horrible deaths these people suffered. But hopefully a lot of that's changed. But anyway, there are medical experiments out there which pay people. There are a lot of free medical care or low-cost medical care, even for a lot of these diseases. So I would recommend Matthew Lesko's book on free medical care. And it's a huge, it's the size of a San Francisco or a one of the New York phone books. There are several phone books. But one phone book, it's about this. He puts it out periodically. So I'd recommend you look it up. He's also on the web. And, you know, I don't know why these dumb senators, and maybe they, you know, maybe they're not dumb. They just don't have the time, or they just don't want to do it, or that's what they have highly paid staffers to do the research and, to you know, not to engage in fraud or misrepresentation. But a lot of this stuff is free or low cost, and plus I keep talking about the community health care clinics, of which we have, I think, 7 alone of the 6,000 across the country. There are 7 at least here in San Francisco City and County. And we'll be putting more up on our website, YouTube, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas. Go there, and we are regularly updating it with what I call video verite. We want to just get down to the basics and give people information that's short, succinct, and they can do whatever they want with it. And our motto there is information is power. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you. excuse me. I'm still getting over my light go. We're trying this 5:30 p.m. because we keep getting complaints about the time. And if you want to call in, it's 1-347-633-9620. That's 1-347-633-9620. Now, we're going to continue the Tuesday and Thursday show and then do a short recap on Saturday at high noon at 12 o'clock. And any updated news or breaking news or anything that's of interest that should be given priority and will be at that time. And what's upcoming, what we will have is continuing in December, and we're already there, will be some unusual stuff about connections to what happened on December 7th and its connection to San Francisco. There's a lot of unique history, not only because this was a Navy town, Navy and Marine town, but there's some interesting history here, and we'll be getting into that. Plus, we'll be getting into more, broadcasting more oral history of stuff that I did of people who have served in the military forces of the world and need their exploits publicized or republicized. Stuff you won't get probably no place else. And I've had requests from the military museums from around the world, Australia, New Zealand, Imperial War Museum. And so we'll try to accommodate them. And, of course, a lot of these interviews were like a half hour, hour, and I am excerpting them. Plus, we'll have a lot of famous veterinarians. The one I missed, I couldn't get, was the chief commissar veterinarian of the Soviet Union. I met him in Perth, Australia, when I was out there as a correspondent. And, of course, what I suspected was KGB in Montreal at the time that we discovered. I happened to be up there in 1988 for a conference and to cover it, and was in the Associated Press office, and over the wires, there's this news flash that a freighter had just come into the port of Montreal, and the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, had discovered that this ship had come from Pakistan with a load of heroin. And, of course, this was connected to the Afghan conflict when, at that time, the Taliban and the anti-Soviet imperialists were in Afghanistan causing trouble as usual. And there's a long history to that. And that's one of the problems with this whole Afghan thing. Americans have not learned the lesson of the Brits, where they sent up four armies, four campaigns, the Afghan wars, got their British butts kicked all four times. And some horrible things were done to those soldiers. We'll get into that another time. But General Brigadier Ingle had talked about that because he was the last commanding general of the Bengal Lancers, which was Britain's military force, the longest serving in the subcontinent, India, what is now Pakistan, wasn't then, and Afghanistan. And they had to watch the Northwest Frontier, as it was called. And for those of you who like movies, I again recommend the early version of The Charge of the Light Brigade, Errol Flynn, Vivian de Havilland, a lot of great actors. It's history according to Hollywood, but there's some accuracy in it. And they get into that aspect of the Russian meddling up there in the Northwest Frontier. It was the Tsar at that time. And that part's very accurate. And, of course, how it ties in to the Crimean War. And, of course, we got Florence Nightingale out of there. And cleaned up military medicine, let's put it that way. There's some very interesting birthdays today. Two from Illinois, two great musicians and actors, Richard Pryor and the great Lew Walls. We also have two great writers, Rex Stout. Nero Wolf was born today. Oh, no, he was born today, right. And of the, let's see, and then Admiral Stansfield Turner, U.S. Navy Admiral, who President Carter appointed as the head of the CIA. He only lasted one term. We also have, and then the deaths today, it's interesting, of the writers, it's James Baldwin, the black gay writer, great writer, he died today. Clark Kerr, the first chancellor of the University of California, Berkeley, and of the University of California system, which was once the best university system in the United States and probably in the world. There are many campuses besides the medical. There's Davis, which is the veterinary school, the law school. There's Berkeley. There's now Fresno. There's medical down there. There's UCLA, great football team. University of San Diego, and not the Catholic one. There's a Catholic university there. And then they have now Santa Cruz, which is known as Surfer U. But he got into trouble with the FBI. There was some controversy about him being a subversive and a leftist. And he was to be appointed as, Lyndon Johnson's health secretary, Secretary HEW, but there was a quote, derogatory information in the FBI files. It was controversial. And also, he was, in a way, Clark Kerr was the whipping boy for the Republicans who, when they were running Ronald Reagan for governor of California. You know, a lot of people don't understand Reagan, that he had, believe it or not, the guy was educated. He had a degree in economics from Eureka College in Southern Illinois. Interesting guy. His father was Catholic. His mother was Christian. And, of course, he followed his mother. A lot of interesting stuff. I did some research on his biography. But he was very involved in politics as the president of the Screen Actors Guild, and trying to oust the communists and the leftists who had infiltrated Hollywood, and there's some still there. And now we have the homosexuals and lesbians, that agenda. There have always been those people who were directors, some famous directors who were quote, that way, but they kept it under wraps, no pun intended. But now it's cracked politics and up in your face kind of thing, and this is turning a lot of people off. For instance, the latest outrage is the Harvey Milk myth There's a lot of dirt about that guy. He was a pedophile, and he was not, I repeat, not the first gay elected in San Francisco. It was a guy back named Christensen back in the very late 40s, early 50s. Mayor George Christopher knew him. Incidentally, we will be doing a special on Mayor George Christopher, a famous diplomat who actually saved diplomatic relations between the U.S. and Russia because of the ill-fated U-2 Francis Gary Powers spy mission over the Soviet Union, which had all kinds of connections to San Francisco. After he was shot down, we didn't believe, and even Eisenhower didn't know, the military didn't know, that the Russians did have the capability to shoot down the U-2, which was could fly 50,000 feet, I believe. And they shouldn't have. Eisenhower was to meet Khrushchev in Vienna for a conference and a summit. And they sent off this spy plane, they shouldn't have, and out of Turkey, which we were using Turkey as a base, and got shot down. And they put Francis Gary Powers on a show trial. So the Russians decided to get a San Francisco attorney named Vincent Hellinan, whose father was involved in the assassination of a British diplomat who tried to help resolve the Irish problem, Lord Cavendish. And another interesting connection there, which we'll get into another time, which ties into the Steve Nery case. And it goes all over the place, but I managed to isolate all of the threads in this story. But anyway, Vincent Hellinan ran on the Communist Party ticket as president in 1952, and he also went to federal prison on some financial manipulations. And he was the father of six boys, and a couple of them are very controversial, including the last district attorney, Terrence Hellinan, who was involved in rigging cases of his own. Most notorious one was the Stephen Nery, and there are several others, and these are going to come out. The truth eventually does come out. It just takes time, and it does come out. But anyway, George Christopher started Christopher Dery. He emigrated to the United States as a baby. He was the greatest mayor of San Francisco, known as George the Builder, and we'll be running some stuff on him. I knew him for 10 years, and he helped support Veritas, our paper, which we will resume next month, probably January. And coming up in January, we will be featuring Salute to Australia and New Zealand. I did a lot of interviews down there when I was correspondent, and we'll be using some of those. One of my particular interests was pets in prison to relieve the tension and also as a disciplinary tool. That I was allowed as the first journalist to go into Perry Prison as a journalist. They even gave me a pair of shoes to walk out in, invited me back for lunch, fish lunch, but I couldn't make it, and I didn't eat all the sheep. Anyway, I interviewed prisoners down there, and their prison system is very much like the American system, demographically, where the Maori ethnics are the dominant group in the prison population, just as we have the dominant group, blacks and ethnic minorities here in the States. And they were the first prison, or one of the first, to allow birds and fish as a means to curb the tension. And when the prisoner misbehaved, his pets, his parakeets, or budgeries, as they called them, and fish were taken away. And that helped control the violence and relieve the tension. And other prisons in Australia, I think Finland, and I did a whole survey on that. We'll get into that. And the interviews, I called it the Birdman of Perry Prison. And they have a couple of photos also. I didn't do any video at that time. But those are coming up. And then Thursday, we're going to have an expert, a live interview, and you're invited to call in then, 5:30, with Al Santoli, who was a former congressional staffer, very helpful, a great guy with the American Asia Foundation. He's an expert on the Philippines, and I think his wife's Filipino or Vietnamese. And he is familiar with what's going on in Mindanao. A lot of people don't know that although the Philippines was Catholic after Spain took over or conquered it, and it still is a very heavily Catholic, although they had one Protestant, Ramos. In fact, his son went to West Point, as a matter of fact. General Ramos. Anyway, in Mindanao, we have the Islamic problem there, and they wanted to break away as a separate Islamic island or nation or whatever. But anyway, he knows more about it, and we're going to have him as our guest, and we're going to have other people. I'm going to have maybe more, live interviews in addition to the oral history and practical tips. Incidentally, if any of you are buying online, I just got burned on this. Ask the seller online if you can, this happened to me with buy.com. I can mention it. But what happened was I bought something, and they didn't say anything about return shipping defective product. So when I called to get the authorization, because a third party had, Amazon had advertised it, but they said you have to go back to the person, the outfit that ships it. And Amazon authorizes returns, and they pay the postage, but not buy.com. And so I advise all you people who decide to buy online, this is information which can help you. Make sure if you're not satisfied, and of course if you pay by credit card, you're not pay by cash over the internet. Make sure that if it's defective if you have to return it, that they pay the shipping, or if you have to pay the shipping, they should tell you this. So buy.com does not, and we had a hell of a time trying to even get a phone number on these people. But being the good detectives that we once were, we did locate them finally. So word to the wise, find out if you have to return something, whether you pay the return shipping. excuse me. So, because more and more people are buying online this year, they don't want to deal with Black Friday and Cyber Monday and the crowds and all the tension and the traffic and all that. So, so take care of yourself. Now, also, we're working on this one, and it should be up either tonight or tomorrow. These smart electrical meters. People are asking questions. Some people have complained they've seen their utility bill. In the cost increased up to 300%, yet they have not used 300% more electricity. So there's a lot of questions about these smart utility meters, and there's an interesting Canadian connection, which I'll get into. I didn't know this. Of course, this is what happens when you do good research, or try to. Turns out in the province of Ontario and in British Columbia that it's mandatory to install these things, and if you refuse, the police can come there. The what they call constables up there can come there and see that these devices are installed. Not only that, you have to pay for the time of the policeman or the constable who's there. And now, an RCMP retired official at Royal Canadian Mounted Police, their version of kind of the FBI, CIA up there in Canada. Anyway, reportedly said that one of the reasons they wanted these these smart utility meters installed was to monitor people who may have been engaging in illegal marijuana growth, dealing in marijuana, which uses a lot of a lot of lamps, pumps, which are powered. So that's one way they can tell. In fact, we had a case here in San Francisco where PG&E alerted the San Francisco Police Department about a house in a remote area, ironically near a police station, which had an excessive use of utilities. When the cops went out there, they found it was a big pot plant. So tune in Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Al Santoli, and that should be a very interesting interview with somebody who's been out there and knows the Philippines, and give you information that you probably won't get anyplace else, and at least you'll get it straight and honest. We tell it like it is, like it was, and how it should be. And our other motto is San Francisco, California, and the nation is ready for renaissance, renewal, and reform. So hope to see you tune in Thursday at 5:30. This is Peter Paul Brizola working with The New Shadow. Thanks for listening, and thanks for tuning in. Oh, we've got a little screw up here on my switchboard here. There's some, I got a few seconds to go. At least that's what it's saying. And I don't want a lot of dead airspace, but go to our amicusveritas.org, our blog on the web, and go to our YouTube site at YouTube, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, and you can email me at pverzola, V-E-R-Z-O-L-A, at gmail.com. I've got several there. Thank you for viewing. Thank you for listening. Okay. All right.